Proverbs chapter 4, and we want to look at verse number 23. It says, and we'll start with that verse. It says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." So that's the verse we want to kind of key in on, because the subject I've been given is a word to the wise from the Proverbs about purity. And when I think about purity, I think about our heart, about keeping our hearts pure. And Jesus even said that in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8 when he said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." And so a pure heart is very important. If we don't get a pure heart, we're not going to see God. And it's so hard to keep a pure heart without guarding your heart. And what's interesting is Proverbs has so much to give us on keeping our heart pure in regards to lascivious conduct. And that's kind of the direction I want to go with this, is about the lascivious conduct. But verse 24 also says, "Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet, and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil." And those things right there are going to help us a lot in regards to keeping ourselves pure, and that is to keep our eyes, even physically sometimes, fixed directly in front of us and not be looking around and, you know, checking out everything, especially right now in the summer when you're driving around, even when you're not wanting to see things. Girls walking all over the place, dressed in ways they shouldn't be. And if you don't keep your eyes focused ahead, you can be looking to the side and start getting these things in your head that you don't want in your head, because we're trying to keep a pure heart. The heart is just the seat of the emotions, and it's part of our mind. The heart is something we have to keep clean. And of course, coming to Jesus initially, we get our hearts cleaned through the blood of Christ. But then the work starts by keeping our hearts clean and getting rid of things that we see that can lead to other things. And so we've got to really be careful in that. Let's also look at one other scripture before we get started. And let's look at Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, because this is important about our hearts to think about. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve." So the heart is deceitful. We can think that we're pure in our own eyes. There's a scripture that says that, you know, that we can be pure in our own eyes, but we haven't been cleansed of our filth. And we want to be pure in God's eyes, don't we? That's why we've got to let God examine us, and He does examine us through His Word. That's how He gives us an examination today, isn't it? Someday we're going to have our final exam. But right now we're given an opportunity for Him to check us out continually so we can change things in our lives that are wrong and not pure, and are impure, and fix them before it's too late. And so we've got to work on that, because the heart says, "I'm all right, and I don't need to take care of anything." But the Proverbs have a lot to say about purity, and so we're going to look at some of those things. We're going to look at how can we guard our heart. Going back to Proverbs 4:23, I forgot to mention this, but the New American Standard update says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." And so when you think about purity, the springs of life, anytime I think of a spring, I automatically think of pure water. You know why? Because whenever we had an opportunity to sometimes go down into this place where we could fish for a week, we would run out of water. And you know what was nice to find? A spring. Because that water was pure. And you could get that water and you could drink it. And you didn't have to worry about the contaminants in your gut, which the one river, it looked fine. It looked great. Sometimes we are so thirsty In fact, one time, I think Josh and I, most of you know Josh Ray too, and him and I, we drank from that river. We were so thirsty. Not a whole lot, but we took a little sip. But we shouldn't have, because there's hidden stuff in there that's impure. You can't see, that can mesh you up. But those springs, you don't have to worry about them. They're uncontaminated, and they're refreshing. And so you think about it, if our hearts get impure, we're not going to live a refreshing life. Our heart is our guidance. If our heart gets messed up, we're going to be an unhappy Christian. We're not going to be excited about the Lord. We're going to be frustrated. We're going to be upset. We're not going to be refreshed because our heart, our spring, has been defiled. And so, of course, God can help us fix that spring, but we've got to watch over our heart with all diligence. I like how it says that. And so how can we guard our heart or watch over it with all diligence? First thing is by guarding our conduct. See, if we don't have right conduct, we're going to end up with an impure heart. Some people think the opposite. They think, I will first clean up my heart, and then I will clean up my conduct. It'll be a vicious circle of continuous defeat if we don't straighten up our conduct with the view of wanting to get a pure heart. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. Notice what it says. It says, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So we have to flee the evil desires of youth, and then we can call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And that's what we want. We want that pure heart by fleeing from certain activities of even that young people do that old people can do. What are some of these activities? This is a good question. Where does this activity lead? And is it a violation of God of principles in God's word? One thing I can think of that actually I believe is starting to come back around is dancing. Dancing has come back into play with some Christians. And what happens, I think, is sometimes people have... they're in the Lord for a while, they start thinking, well, maybe it's okay to slow dance or something. Now, maybe that's an okay activity. Well, why is a slow dance today okay when it was unacceptable, 30, 40, 50 years ago, whenever some preachers were preaching on the dance and most people, of course, have heard of him, Brother Word. He said, he was around the dance, and he had seen people talk, and one guy, I guess, was talking about how he wanted to dance with another lady or whatever, but then there was this Christian that's saying, well, I just want to dance with my wife. And Brother Word said, that guy would rather dance with a barrel of skinned onions than dance with his wife. I thought that was funny. But, And in public dancing, that's what it's for. It's for to end up and be dancing with somebody that's not your wife. And that's what happens. And then, of course, other things as well. But let's look at 2 Corinthians 12, 22. And I don't have personal experience with this, but I definitely know it's something that we shouldn't be doing. 2 Corinthians 12, 21 says, I am afraid that when I come again, my God will humble me before you, and I will be grieved over many who have sinned earlier and have not repented of the impurity, sexual sin, and debauchery in which they have indulged. So the church in Corinth, they had this trouble, didn't they? With maybe not, I don't know what they did. They maybe danced too, I don't know. But the word debauchery, this Greek word aselgia, it's wanton acts of manners as filthy words, but also indecent bodily movements and unchaste handling of males and females. And that's from Thayer's Greek lexicon. So where does that conduct, where does this activity lead? This dancing, it leads to people lusting for each other. And when you're getting close to somebody who's not your wife, that's not a good idea. The only person you should be stirred up with is your wife. Nobody else. But sometimes people want to play around and fool around with people that aren't their wife or their husband. Another thing that can cause us to be impure is mixed swimming. One thing it leads to is men and women being immodest. And when women and men are dressed in a particular manner, for me it's women, but when they're dressed in the way they are to go swimming, lust will be stirred up. Because that's they're showing things, everything off, basically. And in Matthew 5, 27 and 28, Matthew 5, 27 and 28 says, "You have heard that it was said, 'Do not commit adultery.' But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." God is concerned about adultery in the heart, isn't he? And one of the things is lust. If we look at a woman lustfully, we've already committed adultery with her in our heart. And so the mixed swimming is something we've got to keep out and hopefully we're not partaking of. And we'll be willing to stand up against that. 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10 mentions about modesty. And so even the immodest dress can lead to people lusting. Not just in the swimming pool. Not just the bikinis and so forth. But just the immodest dress in general. And a lot of that dress is designed to get attention and the undue attention, the bad attention. 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10 says, "I also want women to dress modestly with decency and propriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, but with good deeds appropriate for women who profess to worship God." So God says, I also want women to dress modestly. And I'm not going to go into a big thing on modesty, but God definitely wants it. And so women need to consider that. And think about, it takes two to commit adultery, doesn't it? Now, obviously, you cannot control everybody and what they're going to think. But a woman can do her best to keep covered up. What's interesting is that even in society still, they try to hold to some standard. I've gone on the one of the high school in Albany, their website, and I've looked up their handbook. And in there, they have a list of things that's immodest. So they don't let everything go. Low midriffs, they're not supposed to be showing their straps and so forth. That's still in society. I don't think they probably enforce it, because I remember in our high school we had that too, and they didn't do a very good job of enforcing it. But then it came out in the paper that they're going to make them all dress in uniforms for PE because the girls were dressing modestly when they were doing push-ups. You could see everything. Well, I've seen far too many Christian ladies that when they bend over, they have to hold their garment because it's so low. They're having to hold it up, and at least they are conscientious enough to do that. But they might be more conscientious to go ahead and try to find something a little bit more modest, where you're not having to, maybe because you might forget. And so, anyway, that's just something to consider for sure. But we definitely need to have some standard of modesty. Otherwise, there's no standard of modesty. And so we need to consider these things. And definitely Matthew 5, 27 and 28 says that if a man looks at a woman lustfully, he's committed adultery with her in his heart. But another activity is flirting. Flirting can happen in the church. By the way a woman walks, by the way she talks, by the way she looks, or the way she is dressed, or lack thereof, like I mentioned before. Now, let's go over to Proverbs chapter 7 and get into a little bit of Proverbs on this. Proverbs chapter 7, Proverbs 5, 6, and 7 all have something to say about the adulterous woman. and just that way of life. Proverbs 7 and verse 2. It says, keep my commands and you will live. Guide my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your kinsman. They will keep you from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductive words. See, I thought that was interesting, because what's flirting a lot of times? Well, it's words. Sometimes, you know, of course, it's sometimes eyes and so forth, and sometimes touching. Hopefully that doesn't happen, but it definitely could. But dropping down to verse 8 here, and let's just start there. It says, talking about this guy going down the where this lady was. So as he was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house, at twilight as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in, then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute and with crafty intent. She is loud and defiant, and her feet never stay at home. Now in the street, now in the squares, at every corner she lurks. All right, you kind of get the idea there, and it continues. Down to verse 21, it says, with persuasive words she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into the noose. And verse number 27, 28, 6 and 27, it says, many are the victims she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is a highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. And so, again, we see something pointed out there that's interesting about her dress in verse number 10. She was dressed like a prostitute. And so God does look at a way a woman dresses, and if she's dressed like a prostitute, that's the way he sees it. And so, and that type of dress is a way to get to end up and start flirting, to get attention, and to cause a man to go all the way with a woman. And but that type of conduct, you know, hopefully today a woman wouldn't want to even be close to being like that, you know, with leading somebody along and acting so close to them. If they're not their husband, or you know, if they're married, for sure they need to be close to their husband or husbands with their wives. That's who they need to be close to. Proverbs 2, and that's the antidote for a lot of this these problems. Proverbs 2, 16 and 17 says, it will save you from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. For her house leads down to death, and her paths to the spirits of the dead. So, we need to guard our conduct in any of these areas. Dancing, mixed swimming, flirting, any of the others you can think of that would fit in these. We need to guard it, because we need to guard our heart. Another thing we need to do, we need to guard our thoughts. Let's look at Proverbs 23 and verse 7. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. And I'm going to read it from the King James. It says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to you, but his heart is not with thee. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so, if we start thinking bad thoughts, that's who we become eventually, over time. You know, and so we've got to do something that Jesus said to do in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. And I like what he said there. 2 Corinthians 10. Did I say Jesus? Well, Paul, sorry about that. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." So we've got to take captive the thoughts and make them obedient to Christ. Make sure our thoughts are in line with what God wants us to think. And Job 31:1, Job made the covenant with his eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. And one thing that we've got to really do when we guard our thoughts is we've got to watch what we watch. We've got to be careful with what we watch. And in Proverbs 6 and 23, let's go over there. Proverbs, there's so much garbage out there, and on the TV, internet, movies, and we need to be very vigilant, because those thoughts, that's how thoughts enter in a lot of times, is through what we watch, and the vision is such a powerful sense that we have. But in Proverbs 6 and verse 23, it says, "For these commands are a lamp, this teaching is a light, and the corrections of discipline are the way to life, keeping you from the immoral woman, from the smooth tongue of the wayward wife. Do not lust in your heart after her beauty, or let her captivate you with her eyes." So, you know, seeing all we can see on women who are dressed indecent, that's not being careful. That's not taking thought captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And you think about that. David, that was his problem. He saw something beautiful, a woman beautiful bathing, and he didn't take his thought captive and do it the right thing. Instead, he took what he saw, he thought about it, and then he wanted to find out about her. And then he sinned, didn't he? And so, you and I, you know, many times, you know, it's not like that for us, but there might be something we come across that we see that we shouldn't. Well, we need to hopefully shut it off and get away from it. One thing I can think of really that is definitely going to mess up our thoughts is pornography. Pornography is a horrible thing that can mess us up and definitely is not going to keep us pure. And it's so easy to get a hold of. It's an easy thing to end up and start watching stuff you shouldn't watch, and especially through the internet. That's an easy way. And we've got to say, "I'm not going to look at this stuff," and get away from it. But instead, it's easy to want to see more. And that's the devil's trick, is to get you hooked where you want to see more and more and more. And then when you're married, then you're not enjoying your wife like you should. You're impure in your thinking, and it takes over. It can ruin you if you don't get it out. And so that's something we need to really take control of. And in Galatians 5, 19 through 21... I don't have time to go through that, but that really talks about some of these things. And Psalms 101 and verse 3 says, David said, "I will set before my eyes no vile thing." And so whatever it is, whatever it may be, we need to be sure it's not vile in what we're watching, and make sure it's not impure. But also what we read. Do you realize what we read can also be a way for our thoughts to become impure? You know, that's where Philippians 4:8 is really good, isn't it? And let's go ahead and look at that real quick. Philippians 4:8, where it says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." So our thinking, we've got to guard it. We've got to guard our thinking if we want to be pure in heart. And along with our conduct, But also we need to avoid tempting situations as well, which we don't have time to go into this one. So I'll have to kind of close out there. But one little simple maybe scripture that you might remember is 1 Thessalonians 5:22, where it says, avoid all appearance of evil in some of the translations. Well, you can avoid appearance of evil by avoiding bad situations. You might say, I can handle it, being alone with this person, you know, and sitting here and we're really talking away and we're having a good time and so forth. Yeah, you might for a while, but eventually you can be given over to temptation. You know, someone talking so nice, it talks about that in Proverbs 6:24. And to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. People can use flattery to get you, to get to your heart and to get you thinking impure and to start having impure actions. And so Proverbs 4:23, remember it, that we need to be on our toes. We need to guard our heart above all else. Guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And so I'll leave you with those thoughts today. Thank you.